ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So our title is Preached to Every Creature. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that we would learn things tonight, and again, just be grateful for your word and how we can trust it and how we know it is infallible. And Lord, that everything has to revolve around what you say. And I pray it would be an encouragement to us as your children, as we think about this dispensation that we live in, how blessed we are to have Christ, and that you'd be glorified. Guide us now in Christ's name. Amen. So we'll just talk about this statement now. You can go ahead and turn those lights off. Somebody was turning lights off. Who was that? Was that you, Caitlin? Sorry. Everybody's like, what in the world is this map? Right? It's so funky. And the reason for that is because this map is a representation of what Europe, if you will, Europe, Asia, Middle East, what they saw of the world in the time of Jesus Christ. So this is the latest map at the time that has been preserved. This is what they saw existed in the time of Jesus Christ. So Africa's a little bit funky, as you can see. There is no Australia or New Zealand yet. And is it missing anything else? Just out of curiosity. If this is a world map, are we missing anything important?
USA.
How about the entire North and South America? Not just USA, brother. Like 30 or 40 countries. Canada, the U.S., all of Central America and all of South America. The problem is that we always are looking through the lens of where things began, aren't we? Which is here. Garden of Eden. And then, of course, Noah and the flood. Mount Ararat, we assume, was in Turkey. We can't prove that from Scripture, but we assume it was in Turkey somewhere. And then, of course, the Tower of Babel, a century or two after the flood, where up to that point, man had refused to obey God and spread, right? Man just, they all stuck together pretty close to where the ark landed and had one language and built the Tower of Babel. And then God, what did he do? He dispersed them. And how did he do it? He did it with language. You know, we often think, oh, the origin of this language, the origin of this language. No, God did this. God came up with having multiple languages. Man up to this, oh, of course, man up to this point had, if you read about the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 10, it looks like man, everybody had one language. And then God said, no, the only way I'm going to get these people to spread out and populate the earth like I told them to is I'm going to have to break them up into pieces. And that's exactly what it did, right? In Genesis chapter 10. And he broke them up into pieces. And what did they do? They started dispersing. So for the early years, sorry, I've got to come over here because I didn't do this as slides, but for the early years of the gospel, obviously we have this, the day of Pentecost, right? That's when our dispensation began. God. So what was important about Pentecost? Does anybody know what Pentecost meant or what the significance of it was from a Jewish point of view? Does anybody know what Penta means?
obviously it's a Feast of Tabernacles. So it's
yes, 50. But Penta is 50. So 50 years. Yeah, so this was a once every 50 year celebration. And so Jews would come from all over, not the world, but all over Asia and Europe and North Africa, where they had spread. But these are generational things, right? 50 years is a long time. And so most of the Jews who showed up for this feast and celebration couldn't speak Hebrew anymore because they were, you know, second, third, fourth, whatever generation Jews. And hence, God brought on this thing that the charismatics are abusing called tongues. What was the purpose of it? It was to break language barriers so that all of these Jews could hear the gospel in their own language, right? That's the whole point of Acts chapter 2 is that 3,000 people got saved. Amen? You know, the charismatics want to make it that they spake in tongues. No, they spake in tongues so that people could hear the gospel and get saved. So Jesus had already given the command, right? Matthew 28, all nations. Mark 16, every creature. Luke 24, all nations. He had already given the command to the disciples, go into all the world, right? And preach the gospel to every creature. Now, the disciples, unlike the people that came out of the ark, they took their responsibility seriously, didn't they? But most of the Jews didn't. Most of the Jews wanted to hang out in Jerusalem, didn't they? But it took God calling a special man. Amen? Who was that man? The Apostle Paul. Now, all of these squiggly lines are all the places that Paul went. Doesn't that just boggle your brain to think? They didn't have trains, they didn't have cars, they didn't have airplanes. And yet, look at all the places that Paul went in his missionary journeys. So, what we call Europe and what they called Asia back then, the seven churches were all around in here from Revelations chapter 2 and 3. And then in Acts chapter 8, we have a man whom one of the first deacons preached the gospel to. And where was he from? Acts chapter 8. Yes? He was from Ethiopia. The Ethiopian eunuch. Where's Ethiopia? Well, most people think that back then Ethiopia was down here on the Arabian Peninsula, but we know it was at least Africa, right? It was part of Africa. Again, we can't trust maps from way back then. But they were, you know, and then this just continued. Because imagine every single one of these churches that Paul started, they would have known the Great Commission. Amen? And they would have, they got saved, they began to grow, their churches grew. They would have taken it seriously as well. We need to go beyond our town. We need to go beyond our city. And we need to take the gospel. Jesus told us we have to take the gospel to every creature. And so they would have. They would have gone beyond. And that is back to that original funky world map. I'll open back up. Get this one. So that they would have gone to Africa, they would have gone over here to Asia, and they would have, which, you know, this wasn't really called Europe back then, but yeah, Europe, and up into all of this white area, which the white basically means, as far as they knew back then, it was pretty much uninhabited. There weren't really nations there. They were just like, you know, tribes and whatever. But that brings us back to the North and South America issue. So what do we do with it? Oh, Thomas, yes. Again, it's not in the Bible, but church history, and you can actually visit the Church of Thomas in India. It's still there in Goa. And they even have what they claim is his body. It's been mummified. Thomas was one of the 12. Doubting Thomas. You ask any Indian from that region of India, they'll tell you, yeah, Thomas came here and preached the gospel to us 2,000 years ago. So that covers this funky thing. But what about North and South America? What are we going to do with them? Because we're told that they weren't even discovered until the Spaniards hit South America and Columbus hit North America. But when they got there, were there people? Yes, lots of people. And yes, they basically all of South America, the Spaniards except for Brazil, which was settled by claimed by Portugal. They speak Portuguese, but every other country in South America and Central America speaks Spanish. Wonder why that would be. Because Spain was a world power back then. They had one of the biggest navies, and they went down and they took over South America. It was theirs. They claimed it because they were the first to find it. North America came later, and they found all these people that spoke all these different languages, all these tribes, which we now refer to as Native Americans. We used to call them Indians because way back then they thought they hit India instead of North America. Anyway, thankfully with DNA now today, the scientists are confirming a couple of things. One is we all came from the same parents. Well, duh. Right? It's in the Bible. And the Bible teaches that we all came from Noah and his children, right? And his married children. And sure enough, that's what DNA keeps telling them. They keep narrowing it in. You know, now you can send your blood sample in and you can find out percentage-wise where you originate way back. And the more they do this, the more they're finding that, yes, mankind began in one place and with one group. Well, we already knew this. But North and South America, what do we do with them? Well, they've discovered tools in Central and South America that exactly match tools from what is now called Russia. And most people believe that at one point the Bering Strait, which is where Russia and Alaska are really close to each other, that their oceans have gone up and down over the centuries. And at one point there was a land bridge there. And archaeologists keep finding things that confirm that there was a land bridge that connected what's today Alaska and what back is Siberia. And sure enough, they teach and believe that man went over there in droves. Can you imagine being those first people after the Tower of Babel to walk into Alaska and then start? Not they didn't necessarily walk from Alaska to South America. They probably had boats and went kind of along the coast, you know, worked their way down, whatever. But imagine you're first. Wouldn't that be something? And you're obviously first because you're descendants of Noah and his kids. So imagine what that would have been like to be in those parts of the world. Yeah, just as a FYI, some trivia, the last country apparently in the world to be settled by humans was New Zealand. There you go. It was uninhabited the longest. So I believe, and you can turn the lights back on, anybody. I believe, and I was just trying to make this point, that when Paul said this, if you go to verse 9 of the same chapter, verse 6, that he meant it. Amen? That when he said that the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven, he meant it. Look at verse 6. Which has come unto you as it is in all the world. So there it is again. Same chapter. Paul says it's in all the world. I guess you don't have to see my screen today. That would have been a distraction. All the world. And that's what Jesus said. All the world. So Paul here is telling us, Colossians is one of the later books that he wrote. He says the gospel has gone into all the world. I believe that's true. And I hope you do too. That man migrated after the Tower of Babel. God forced him to. using languages. You now are this group, and you're this group, and they would have traveled together because they can't communicate with anybody else. So they can only communicate with each other, so they would have immediately formed a little or big band of people, and they would have traveled and said, let's go find a place to settle. And they did. And the disciples of the disciples of the disciples, they would have taken the call seriously, and there would have already been ways to get to North and South America, independent of Columbus and Magellan and all of them. They would have already known about those routes, those migration routes, and they would have used them to get the gospel around the world, just like Jesus told them to. And that's verse 23. Amen. So Paul is telling us that God gave him a special dispensation. Did you see that in verse 25? Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me. Now, Paul is not boasting. Paul is just stating a fact that God gave him a dispensation. And by that, it means God revealed the rules of the dispensation, which that's what a dispensation is. It means God never changes, but the rules change. And the rules of the new dispensation were given to Paul. And Paul alone. Now, it looks like there's seven dispensations in the Bible. We don't need to spend a lot of time on them. But the first one, of course, would have been before the fall, right? Things were obviously different. Many people call that one innocence. You can call it whatever you want. The second one would have been after the fall, until the flood. Remember, that would have been pre-Abraham, pre-any calling, any Jews. Most people call that conscience because there was no written word. Man was pretty much just guided by the word that had been passed down. And then Abraham, everything changed, didn't it? Now God gave Abraham some promises. God formed a new people. And God actually began to speak to Abraham and to his descendants. And started to lay everything out. Most people call that human government before Abraham, and then the time of promise after Abraham, because that Genesis 12 promise defines everything. And then, of course, everything changed with Moses, because now man had the word. Amen. Now man had the written word. He had law. He had a long list of do's and don'ts given directly by our Creator. And so that would have established that new dispensation called law, which would have started with Moses, and that, of course, ended with Jesus. Amen? And just to drive that point home, God tore that veil from top to bottom to say there was no more temple, there was no more holy of holies on earth, there was no more Aaronic priesthood needed. That was all done away with Jesus Christ. Amen? And then in the day of Pentecost, God brought in a new age. And everything changed. Amen? Yeah, okay, so they spake in tongues and broke language barriers. That's not what's big. What's big is that the Holy Spirit came down and indwelt man. Now, that's big. When God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us, that's big. And that's exactly what happened. So this new dispensation, it's already been named for us in Acts 20:24. So we'll turn there quickly. And I'm sure you all know the name of it already, which is what? Christina? Grace, absolutely. We live in the age of grace. Amen? For by grace are you saved. In Acts 20:24, the Apostle Paul says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So here Paul is naming the gospel that we preach. He's calling it the gospel of the grace of God. The Bible says in John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the truth, and he brought grace to us. Hallelujah. And in 1 Corinthians 9:17, if you want to turn there quickly, the Bible says, "For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." Paul is saying that God again gave him his own dispensation, the one that we live in and have lived in, man has lived in for 2,000 years, the one given to Paul, the dispensation of the grace of God. And so Paul not only was an amazing missionary, we saw the map, all the places he went, but he was also the one man that God chose to bring in a new age through the Word of God. Can't wait to meet him. Amen. He's telling us also in verse 26 that this dispensation was a mystery. And so now the disciples' mission is to take this new mystery gospel. And what made it a mystery? Nobody knew about it in the Old Testament. Yes, there were many, many prophets, but none of the prophets knew about this mystery. Paul even says that many times in the scriptures. And we'll look at that quickly, Romans 11:24. And so now these disciples, their mission is to take this mystery, this gospel of the grace of God, to the world. And that's what Paul's telling us here, that it was his dispensation, that God used him to bring it, and that it was a mystery. Notice Romans 11:24. It says, For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. So there's one of the mysteries, is that Israel will be blinded until the time of the Gentiles. Does anybody know when that is? Tribulation period. Halfway. So that's another mystery. One mystery is this gospel. Another mystery is Israel will be blind. There's another one in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's turn there. Just pointing out some other mysteries. We have a lot of mysteries in the New Testament age. And the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God is one of them. Another one is blindness of Israel. Verse 1 Corinthians 15:51 is, of course, the rapture. That's a mystery, isn't it? Paul says so. Behold, I show you a mystery. The trumpet shall sound and the dead shall rise, and we shall be changed. Another mystery is the incarnation. 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That God became a man. That's a mystery that has been revealed to us here in the church age. Another one is the mystery of the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 talks about the mystery of iniquity. That the Antichrist will be a man, but he will have these supernatural powers. And he will trick the world into believing that he is God. And then the last mystery is Revelation 17, Mystery Babylon. And that was, we won't completely understand when we get to heaven, but we won't be here anyway. So we'll already be in heaven. So those are your mysteries. And the fact that this dispensation is a mystery, but then Paul gives us the seventh mystery here in verse 27. Let's look at it. To whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. So the indwelling of God in man, God making man his temple. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:16. That is the seventh mystery. So the first mystery is the gospel itself. Or the dispensation, I should say, itself. The second mystery is Israel's blindness. Third is the rapture. Fourth is the incarnation. Fifth is the Antichrist. Sixth is Mystery Babylon. And then this seventh one here, Paul says, Christ in you. Never before did Almighty God indwell man permanently. Well, while he was on earth anyway. Yes, that won't be necessary when we're in heaven, but this is something that is new, something that wasn't known, that Christ would be in us. 2 Corinthians 6:16, what does it say? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. That's a mystery. That we are God's temple. And so Paul said that this dispensation, which was given to me, which I'm now going to do my best to spread as far as I can, and this dispensation needs to go to the whole world. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to tell everybody to do this. And before he died, he said that it had gone into all the world. The gospel of the grace of God, the mystery of the gospel of the grace of God, the mystery of the one body of Christ, the mystery of the indwelling Holy Spirit, all of that needs to be told to the world. And before Paul died, he said, every creature, it's been preached to every creature. Sadly, the church dropped the ball along the way, didn't they? And they let the church become one big thing. Whenever man does that, it never turns out good, does it? Whenever man forms these big organizations and they're in control of the churches, it never works out good because it's not God's way and men are sinners and it's never going to work because church is not a political organization, is it? It is an organism. Amen? It is the body of Christ. And then we get the Dark Ages because of that. Now, the historians have quit calling it that. But it was dark. It was dark for multiple reasons. Why? Well, all the people that were martyred just for believing the Bible, that made it very dark. And the fact that not many people got to hear about Jesus Christ, that made it very dark. And when they did hear about Jesus Christ, they heard it from a Catholic perspective, which was so twisted. And they believed that the church would get them to heaven and they had to just keep the sacraments and all this stuff. So they weren't being saved anyway. So how dark was that? Then God brought us some great men, the reformers, who said, this is enough. We need the Bible in everybody's hand, and we need to stop telling people stuff that isn't true. Amen? And that was the birth of the Reformation. Now, there were always believers from the time of Christ until now, of course, or we wouldn't be here. But, yeah, the every creature thing, I don't think it has been true for the whole 2,000 years. It was true then, and God is holding back. Now, we don't know how long, but he gives us his reason for holding back, doesn't he? What's it say in 2 Peter 3:9? He says, he's long-suffering. Amen? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why has God waited? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering. We don't know what that means, do we? But we know that God wants everybody saved. That's why he died and rose again. But in the time of Paul, it looks like it was preached to every creature. And we're Bible believers, so we believe that's true. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and the great lessons we've learned tonight about this dispensation of grace. Lord, about the mystery of the indwelling Holy Spirit and the one body of Christ, Lord. And just this beautiful truth that the disciples took their mission so seriously in the time of the disciples and the apostles. Thank you for their zeal, their fervor, their willingness to literally give their lives to get the gospel around the world. I pray, Lord, that we continue to see that happen through missionaries and that we would do our best to do our part here too. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.